Hey everyone, it's Velga here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're a member FDIC.
B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Velga and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon. Velga and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, news came out in the 5 o'clock hour yesterday, right in the middle of our Patriots conversation following the loss in Baltimore, about J.D. Martinez, surprisingly, as far as I'm concerned, opting back into the Boston Red Sox. A lot of ramifications to this move, so let's discuss some of them here with Maz. What are your opening thoughts on that?
So I don't think the Red Sox are necessarily expecting this, and in fact, I think they were half hoping that he didn't opt in. I think that they thought it would have made their lives a hell of a lot easier as it pertains to Mookie Betts. And they'd be able to sort of assess Mookie now, weigh the landscape, maybe trade someone like Bradley and try to sign Mookie. Now it gets a hell of a lot more complicated. So now me personally, I think they're better off this way. I think they're better off trading Mookie and keeping J.D. Martinez.
Why?
Because
he's a better player.
Mookie's a more complete player. So J.D.'s a better hitter.
Okay, but Mookie Betts is a better player. Why are they better off with the lesser player?
Because I don't want to give Mookie Betts 10 years. I think that they can function with Bogarts, Devers, and Martinez in the middle of that lineup and without extending themselves on Mookie. And again, at the core of every Red Sox belief I have this offseason is that they're going to lose Mookie Betts in a year anyway. So to me, I would rather have J.D. Martinez on the roster for 3 more years than Mookie Betts, you know, for 1. And honestly, I wouldn't give Mookie 10. And I think Mookie's looking for a 10-year deal. I mean, what did Trout get? Trout got 12 years or something, $420 million. My guess is that Mookie's looking for that kind of contract.
Okay, so you got to clear space. Is that where you do it?
I think that's the easiest spot. I think that's the easiest spot. But I'm not giving him away.
Okay.
You follow me on that?
And let me tell you now, I think you're going to have to give him away for all intents and purposes. You won't get nothing back, obviously, but you'll lose the trade. You won't get value.
So they're going to have to take ponies for a horse.
Exactly. You know, for what amounts to a 1-year rental, anyone who wants to sign him to a free agent contract just has to wait a year and they don't have to give you anything. So you're really threading the needle there for someone who needs him immediately and thinks they can re-sign him. So maybe that's Atlanta, but I don't know how many other teams you could put on that list where you can assume that Mookie Betts is going to want to stay, you're going to have to pay, and you think you're knocking at the door for a championship next year, so it makes sense to give a premium just for that extra year. Because, again, you can sign them for nothing next offseason. So how many of those, you know, Atlanta, Philadelphia?
No, there aren't many.
How many are there?
Yeah, there aren't many.
So, you know, Angel, I mean, I don't know, like there's like 2 or 3 teams. So I don't think that you're going to get value from Mookie Betts. Yet they are, do you believe they are serious about getting under that threshold and shedding $20 to $30 million in payroll?
I think they're completely 100% serious.
And yep. Do you blame them for it? First of all, let's just get that out of the way. Because I want to bring this up too. I don't blame them either. When the Yankees do it and the Dodgers do it, both those teams have done this, right?
Correct.
Gone under that 208 level to reset their luxury tax penalties. When the Dodgers and the Yankees do it, I'm sorry. That's just, it feels to me like that's a consensus play in baseball. And when those guys are doing it, it's okay if you do it. I'm not gonna call the Red Sox cheap for not being at 240 year in, year out when everyone resets under 208 at least once.
I mean, I have a lot of complaints with the Red Sox in my lifetime, as you know. The money they've spent under this ownership is not one of them, okay? So they've spent a ton of dough, and their pattern, aside from the Yankees and the Dodgers, which you're right about, their pattern has been that every third year they go back under. They've done that.
So fine, and everyone does. So I'm going to not call them cheap bastards. I'm not going to complain about that. This is the reality. They're going under 208. How do they do it?
Someone's got to go now, and it's got to be a big contract.
So I have a plan.
Go. I want to hear it.
Starts with David Price. David Price. Get rid of this guy. Enough. Enough.
So he's a good candidate.
And so you're going to have to swallow some money. He's due $30 million over the next 3 years, right?
30 each.
30 each, right.
Yeah, 30 yeah, correct. Each.
If you swallow 10 and he's a $20 million a year pitcher, you don't think there's a market there for him?
I do.
Okay.
And the other thing is, too, because remember what it's going to cost to get Strasburg or Gerrit Cole, both of whom are on the market.
Bingo.
So those guys are going to be commanding, you know, the price deal. They're going to get 7 years, $210 million.
So you could say sale, but I think you're going to be limited there because his elbow's about to blow up.
Correct.
Okay? And hopefully it's not, but I think teams are going to look at it that way, and he's fresh on his deal. David Price, and so Chris Sale starts a new five-year contract, right?
He's got five to go, right?
Okay. Price only has three. His arm is not great, but it's not about to literally explode like it feels like Chris Sale's is. And you hate him. He hates you. He won here, so he got that thing off his back and all. That's great. But let's face it. He's not meant for this team. He hates it here. And enough
he's
of this.
He's also now injury prone, too.
Enough of this. Well, at least he's...
But it's not, in this case, it's a cyst on his wrist.
Yeah, it's right? Not like...
It's like having a bone spur. And you can take that off and you're fine.
Feels like Chris Sale's one throw away from Tommy John. And I just don't feel that way with David Price. I think he's pretty much, you know, he's avoided that major restructural sort of thing. So
he's the most tradable pitcher you have.
Get rid of this guy. Can we all just be done with the David Price thing?
So this to me.
David, I hate to do that to you.
Wouldn't surprise me if they go that way, which is eat some of the money on Price because again, whoever takes him, it's only 3 years.
It's only three,
right? It's not. And if
he's $20 million a year. There's good value there.
Like, sure there is.
He's worth that.
Yeah. And again, teams might want to see what he looks like in the spring. Who the hell knows? Like, so that one might take a while is my point. But I think that he's movable. You're not trading Eduardo Rodriguez because he's cheap and he's young.
You want to keep Eovaldi.
Okay. So Eovaldi, you're going to have to eat money anyway if you want to do that. So what's the point there? Because you're not going to save all that much. You're going to save half of it, which is like $8.5 million. But if you get rid of Price and Jackie Bradley... You can basically save what you would save by trading Mookie.
So this is what
pretty close.
I'm going back to like I like Chris Sale as a Red Sox. I think he's been a good Red Sox. And he's certainly an injury risk. But I'll take my chances with that versus David Price, like enough. He won you a championship, but he wasn't meant to be here. He hates it here. He doesn't like you. You don't like him. He likes the team. He likes the team fine, and I think his teammates don't mind him. I think he's, you know, I'm talking more about like us, like just the fit in the city. It ain't there. So swallow whatever money it takes on David Price, peddle him. I think he'll get something for him. Who knows? If he goes down, if you just swallow 10 a year, make him a $20 million a year pitcher, you might get something back. That'll get you most of the way home in terms of saving your money. And you get to keep Mookie Betts and JD Martinez for really one more run. Or just, you know, you have a real chance next year. And I know you're now a pitcher short, and depending on what happens with Sale, but I'm just doing that. I'm selling David Price before I'm just peddling Mookie Betts for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, so look, with Mookie, that's the problem, is that, you know, he's a hard guy to trade. I mean, those assessments of him are right. You know, he's an extremely talented guy who's going to cost a lot of dough, and he's going into the final year of a contract.
And Bradley's an easy one. What's he going to get in arbitration?
11-ish. That's the estimate, $11 million.
So I thought it was going to be more, but either way.
So, but if you put Price and Bradley together, you can save $30 million.
Boom. There it is.
And that gets you to 195.
That's it. Play Betts in center.
Now, look, you still have holes to fill. Right, you still got to get maybe a second baseman, a first baseman.
Okay, you know, you don't need nine
superstars,
you know, 350 hitters.
Well, you're not going to get those,
and you don't even need your quote unquote best player. Ask the Washington Nationals. So you don't. It's just not the way baseball works. And I think they would still have plenty of offense. I really do.
Yeah, and then you're going to have to take a gamble that, you know, Darwin's in Hernandez or someone like that can go into the rotation to be a number five starter. like, you know, and I'm throwing crap against the
or
wall.
Or do what everybody else does, and every fifth day make it a bullpen day.
Yeah.
And sick your nerds on the problem. Put Carmine right there on the bench in the dugout and just have him spit out the pitching matchups and just do that every fifth day. A lot of teams do it.
So I think that that's what you're looking at with this team. And I know that apparently Sam Kennedy came out within the last day or so and said that the – and I just feel it's important to touch on this because the comment's out there now – that it's not a hard and fast mandate to be under the 208. Okay? Bull crap.
Right.
Okay? Bull crap.
And I don't mind if it is.
I love Sam, but that's bull crap. They're going to be under 208. Okay? They're going to, you know, but he's implying, though, that, well, you know, maybe we'll end up being over. They're not going to be over it. They're not going to be over it. Trust me. They're staying under that number. So that's a real number. And to start the season, to be under 208 does not mean 207.5. It means you got to be in the 195 to 200 range. No higher than 200 million, I would think, to start the year. And then that gives you a little bit of latitude to add during the year. But they, you know, to me, they're in a little bit of a pickle here. They got to move a big contract one way or the other.
Jackie Bradley's easy. And then the next.
That should be a layup.
The next guy on my hit list is David Price. Enough. Enough. Enough of this guy. Okay. I'm just curious how the new super nerd feels. The nerds love Jackie Bradley and his UZR and all that stuff, right?
They like that super nerd.
Yeah, did he get a gold glove for all that defense? Oh, no, he didn't.
They don't care about gold gloves. They don't look at gold gloves. They look at zone rating.
No, I know
that. He didn't deserve it this year either.
I know that's what the nerds say, but the fans, like, their usual defense is, oh, it's the defense, the defense. That's why you can't get rid of Jackie Bradley Jr. It wasn't even a gold glover this year.
Don't you think fans are ready to move on? Even the boo-hoo Jackie Bradley crew? Don't you think the Jackie Bradley nation is, you know, seen enough?
It's definitely softened.
I mean,
I think maybe the seventh year in a row of hitting 230 finally, you know, dug them in.
Or is it, you know, like if the either or is Jackie Bradley or Mookie Betts? I mean, please, let's not get stupid, even if it's Betts for 1 year. But the nerd community told us that you'd rather have Jackie Bradley than Jose Abreu, who hits 300 and drives in 100 runs a year. You'd rather have Jackie. So those nerds. And you know, Chaim Bloom is, you know, he's like the next level super nerd. So I wonder how he feels about Bradley. I'm curious about that.
He had 225 this year.
So what? What's his UZR, man?
225.
What's his WAR?
Holy crap.
What's Jackie Bradley's WAR? That's what they look at.
What's the one with the plus?
Yeah, what's his WAR plus, weighted WAR plus?
I just see if I can find it.
Oh, my God. You know this Chaim Bloom has metrics that we've never even heard of. Well, I mean, the ones that we want to mock, he would say that's so 5 years ago, pal. We've got the new, you know, like they probably have numbers that would make your head spin in the back of your head.
I like the super nerd thing.
In 2019, Jackie Bradley Jr. had minus 11 total runs above fielding zone average.
Is that true? So even his UZR was way down.
Well, it's actually a RITS. It's an RTZ.
Aha! Mm-hmm.
Here I come to save the day. It's super nerds.
So what are the super nerds thinking down there at Fenway Park? David Price, take all the numbers out of your computer and just look at the guy. Look at the guy and look at the fit. And to me, I start with David Price. Your thoughts on the J.D. Martinez opt-in and what that means, the fallout. To you right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new Business Hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. You still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. Member FDIC.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power Tee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Do you trade him? Do you not trade him? What do you do with Mookie Betts, Keith Law?
I think the answer is yes, and here's why. It really has nothing to do with Mookie Betts, by the way. He's an amazing player, and if they keep him, they're going to be 6-7 wins better. But I look at the Red Sox system top to bottom right now. Look at the Major League pitching staff, especially because it's all about pitching for me. David Price hurt, uncertain durability. Chris Sale, same. And in his case, less effective now that he's not healthy. I look at the farm system. I see some pitching coming, but a lot of it carries risk, reliever risk specifically. I don't know where the next great Red Sox rotation comes from. And I think trading Mookie Betts for a package that gets you two young major league starters or prospects who you feel very, very confident are going to be mid-rotation starters or better, that's the way to try to accelerate a rebuild, they'll never call it that, of the Red Sox franchise so they can get back to contention. Because right now, I don't think they have the pitching resources to get back to compete with the Yankees, the Rays, and even potentially at some point in the near future, the Blue Jays.
Wait, they're now behind the Blue Jays? Who is that?
In terms of the pitching, that's Keith Law, who's a big minor league guy on ESPN. And, you know, I think they should trade Mookie, okay? But not for the reasons that he says. He says to rebuild your farm system. You're not going to rebuild your farm system in one trade now. It's not going to happen that way. That's the wrong reason to do it. If you want to rebuild your farm system, the guy to trade is Bogarts. That's the guy you trade. He's a good player. He's young. He's signed, and he signed at a good number for what he gives you.
Would he be on your list?
Of trading?
Yeah.
No.
Thank you.
No. I'm just saying if that's the type of thing you're looking at, which he's talking about a rebuild.
They don't need to rebuild.
No, they don't.
They should contend next year.
Right. And this is why I disagree with them ultimately. Because I say, no, you don't trade Mookie to rebuild your pitching staff. You got to get younger in your rotation and cheaper. And the way to do that is to get rid of Price. So I'm with you on Price. That's the right thing to do. I just say trade Mookie because I don't think he wants to be here. And if you got to save the money, that's an easy way to do it.
I think you're going to lose the trade. I don't think you're going to get close to value for him.
Mike, remember, the Orioles were in the same spot last year with Machado. They wanted to trade him during the offseason. Okay? They didn't get an offer good enough. And I'm going now back 2 years, not one, 2 years ago with Machado. So they went into the season. They ultimately dealt him to the Dodgers in the middle of the year. So the Red Sox, when they let Mookie go, are going to get a high compensation pick for him.
Right.
So you got to get at least that in
trade. So, and with them, if they're out of it at the deadline, okay.
Then you move them.
I mean, and I honestly don't know how much less you would get than you would now.
Yeah, well, given what happened with the Orioles, it doesn't feel like a lot less.
Right? I mean, because I still think you're still looking at the same dynamic of someone has to re-sign him, you're just renting him, but at least at that point you have World Series contenders who are horny for the, you know, and so I'm waiting on Betts unless if they can win the trade and really cash in, fine, of course. I just don't think that's happening.
No, I agree. I think that what you're looking at with Mookie is volume, okay? Now, they need so much help in the minor leagues that it might not be a bad way to go. So I generally am against ponies for a horse. But if you can get two end-of-the-rotation starters for Mookie, you know, projected end-of-the-rotation guys.
I don't think they're getting that. I'm not going to get two major league pitchers out of that.
I would do it. I would do it.
I don't think they're going to get it.
So again, and I'm saying projected guys, which means there's still some risk involved.
Yeah, well, single A guys? Is that what you're talking about?
No. I'm talking about guys who don't project as high-end big league players, but...
But I mean, anyone can put that on a 19-year-old kid. I'm talking about major league. I just don't think they're going to do well in the trade.
No, it feels like they probably won't.
So start with the guy who doesn't want beer in the first place. Let's go to these phones. Chris in Hartford. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, Martinez doesn't want to be here. Maz, you're right. The Red Sox were crossing their fingers on this guy. They didn't want him to come back. But the big stat, though, you guys really, really got to look at is we got a window right here. The only thing that Cora really didn't do, and we got the same lineup, same on base, same average as 2018 to this year, 125 stolen bases, only 68 this year. Cora said he was going to flip the script. Not flip the script. He flipped the script.
So they got to start running again?
No, it has nothing to do with the running. It was all the 95%. Maybe that's too high. Three quarters of their problems were pitching based. Okay, and starting rotation based, along with bullpen.
He started his call by saying J.D. Martinez doesn't want to be here. Boy, that's sure a weird way to show it when you have a chance to leave in free agency and go wherever you want to opt in.
Well, I tend to think he didn't have the market that he thought he was going to have.
I'm with Murray.
Certainly, but you don't think he likes it enough?
No, I think he likes it enough. I mean, I don't think he hates it the way Price does, or even, you know, I question whether Mookie likes it at all, too.
Yeah.
I don't think Martinez is one of those guys.
The way he was talking, he had a foot out the door.
Yeah, but him not opting out has nothing to do, like, there was some
business.
There were some comments from Boris earlier about how he wants to be in a competitive market. He wants to be in a place where he knows he can succeed, and this guarantees it. Bullcrap. The reason you're still here is because there wasn't a better offer out there.
And I'm surprised there's not. I thought for sure they could do better than, you know, just those single, you know, year to year at $23 million. I thought for sure they'd do better than that. Alan in Florida, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, first of all, the Red Sox didn't think that J.D. Martinez was not going to opt out. I mean, everyone, I said on your show five times, there's absolutely no way he was going to opt out. And I think he is glad to be here. This is my, give me 2 minutes, because you don't talk baseball that much. This year, with Cole leaving Houston, and when the Yankees don't have any pitching, and I don't think they're going to get Cole because I think he's going to Anaheim, if you keep Mookie Betts and you keep J.D. Martinez, this team can be what they were, not what they were 2 years ago. This team can absolutely, positively compete and get into guaranteed to get into the playoffs if something crazy doesn't happen. And who knows what could happen. Then next year go below, and next year Mookie Betts is going to go. You'll get a top draft choice because you're not going to get anything for a guy who's going to be a free agent.
Let me ask Matt something, Alan. Hold on, Alan. Alan, I'll keep you on. If they wait 1 year to reset, does that hurt them, or do they have to reset this year?
No, they're going to do it this year.
So, Alan.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do, Alan.
That's absolutely not true.
Yes, Alan.
Oh, sure. Martinez doesn't want to be here. Mookie doesn't want to be here. The Red Sox don't want to be here. They want to go to Maine. No one wants to be here. You know.
No, Alan, we're talking about the rules of.
The penalties go up in the third year.
Okay, so that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about.
It's a graduating thing. And when I say that graduated, every year you pay a percentage. The number that you are over, you pay a percentage of that in tax. And the number escalates every year. So I don't know what the number is this year. I can double check it. But I want to say it gets to over 50%.
It has to be this year for them to reset. And if everyone resets, everyone, the Yankees and the Dodgers reset, are we really going to harp on the Red Sox for not doing what even the biggest market teams do in this
league? No, and I'll tell you what. Here's the other thing. I want them to reset.
Yes, almost. I almost do, too.
Because, again, they've been beating this horse long enough, for crying out loud. They got to infuse some new talent into that operation. They have to do it.
It's not about the payroll. I mean, once you get to a certain level, it's not about the payroll. What was the Nationals' payroll?
Oh, they were, I think they were second highest in baseball.
The Nationals were?
They were.
Oh, they were way up there, even without Harper.
So even without Harper. There was a great story recently that during the wild card era, 24 of the 25 World Series winners have been in the top half of the majors in payroll.
Okay, top half.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, the Nationals were, I think, second.
Okay, so my point is I don't think you need to be top three, but I didn't realize the Nationals were still up there.
They were high. I mean, think about it. They got Scherzer.
Yeah, and Strasburg. I get that.
They still get some expensive guys.
Who's the most expensive position player?
I'll check it out. I think Rendon was making decent change, though.
Wow, I didn't realize they were second. Well, excuse me, then. Our buddy Tom's in Quincy. Hi, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I talked to you guys a few months ago with this whole the J.D. Martinez situation when Bogaerts signed his extension. I love the baseball offseason right after the World Series. A couple things I'm nervous about. I'm with you guys on the fact of I don't think they're going to get much for bets. I wish they would. But, you know, I don't think they're going to get, you know, pennies on the dollar might be low, but they're not going to get the haul that everyone thought they would initially. There's just a couple things I need to see happen. The Mookie Betts situation, if they trade him, I'm okay with that. If they can't and they keep Nadia, I'm okay with that. They have to move on from Jackie Bradley Jr.
Have to.
And I'm nervous now because the super nerd, as you call him, these guys love him. I can't do another year of him. And, Mike, look forward to a call for a nice, colorful conversation about the new nerd stats they're going to come up with this year, because I know how much me and you both love them.
Oh, my God.
Love them so much.
These guys have nerd stats that you haven't even considered. Haven't even considered considering. Oh, my God.
The people at MIT don't know what to do.
Oh, it'll make your head spin, the metrics that these people come up with. But that's what you got. But you know what? A lot of it does work. And it's a way to... There are a lot of teams out there who have less payroll but super nerds, and they nerd their way out of whatever they don't spend. And there's a lot of it out there, a lot of it. Fifth starter, nerd it. Who's your starter on day five? The nerd. The nerds will come up with it.
What's his FIP?
Yeah, exactly. Seriously. I'm okay with it. I like the idea that Chaim Bloom, super nerd.
Super nerd. And his team of super nerds. You know he's compiled a full team of super nerds down there that put to shame whatever nerds they already have down there, already going to work down there at Fenway. There's about to be a new league of super nerds that is going to come out there and blow out whatever little old school nerd they got in that building. You've never seen anything like it.
In 2019, Jackie Bradley Jr. had -8 outfield arms runs above average.
So if Jackie Bradley's UZR and all these his nerd stats have gone down, God bless. Maybe the nerds have cooled on him.
Thankfully.
There was a time the nerd loved Jackie Bradley.
Just looking at his sabermetric fielding as a center fielder, they're all minuses.
Okay, good. That's good for you, for those of you who want to move on from Jackie Bradley.
Yeah, the time to trade Bradley was a year ago. They effed that up.
Come on.
That's an abnormality.
We continue with your thoughts on this. Want to give you a Bruins Minute and a Celtics Minute after Murray's update.
Hey, everyone. It's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. You still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B, member FDIC.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art top tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off-season.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger Nass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
And the carom goes to Marchand. Wheels out of the line left side. Marchand first circle. Shoots off the post. They score! Brad Marchand rocketed up the left side and unleashed a blast in the left circle. It cranked off the post. Hit Jari, and then trickled in. 5-4 Bruins.
That's how they won. That was a fun game last night, kind of. I mean, the middle, whatever.
Second period sucked.
The middle 25, 30 minutes, boy, did you get your ass kicked.
What a disaster.
Holy smokes, you got smoked in that game. Smoked. But you had got off. The Pittsburgh goaltending was just abysmal. And so you got to win. I think that's basically what happened in that game. Two of your first three goals were jokes.
Murray, yeah, in particular. Yeah, he was brutal. In that game.
Brutal. The first, you know, again, two of the first three were howlers. And then, Krug scores from a bad angle to tie it 4-on-4. And that one, you know, is it possible to snipe and have a sieve in the exact same play? Because that's what that was.
Totally right.
I mean, Marchand coming down the left wing is deadly. Far post. Like, I called it out as he's crossing the blue line. Far post. He's going far post. He's going far post. Because that's his shot. He has that. And he rings it off the far post. So it's a snipe. But you got to, the goalie's got to be out. You can't score from that angle.
And then the goalie knocked it in.
You can't score from that angle. And
brutal.
In this day and age with the goalies, the way they play and their pads, you can't. You can't let up that goal. So the Pittsburgh goaltending was horrible.
Murray was horrendous in that game.
But your offensive skill play and your offensive skill players are playing so... I don't know what to do with that Bruins team because it's the same thing. It's just this top-heavy scoring. It's that first line. But so it's like they get scoring from that line and nobody else. They get good goaltending most nights. Their defense is pretty good, not great. But they're just being carried by the offense of that first line. So it's like, I feel it's not sustainable. I don't feel that's much of a team that you have there. But the play of those guys is so good and half the time breathtaking that I it's fun to watch. And I want to give credit where it's due. I mean, I think as good as Pastrnak has been offensively the last couple of years, I think he's gone to a whole nother level this year.
He has.
And I feel like he's even gotten bigger or something. I mean, I was just at the game the other night. And I noticed his size. Like, he still goes down too easily. And not that he plays physical, but he's, I don't know.
He's filled out a little in the last couple of years.
I just feel like...
I thought it started last year.
I feel like Pastrnak is toying with people. I feel Pastrnak toys with people. He's in a place right now that he's toying with people. And Marchand's hot as a pistol. And the offense from those guys is just insane.
Yeah, at least during the regular season when no one's leaning on them. But we'll get to the other thing later. I told you I looked it up. They're 11-1-2. Okay, that's 14 games.
They have only one loss this year, only one regulation loss this year. The only team in hockey with that.
And in that game, they had two goals called back.
At Colorado, they should have won that game.
Seriously, though, right? Like, they have 24 out of a possible 28 points.
They should have lost last night. I mean, if there was halfway decent goaltending in the Pittsburgh net, you don't win. But
I think they got outshot 21-5 in the second period.
There was a stretch where there was a point in the game where I think the shots were like 38-18 or something. Yeah. And that didn't even fully reflect how badly Pittsburgh was dominating you for the middle of that game. But anyway.
I mean, they gave up three breakaways in the second period, for crying out loud.
But
I told you, I was looking it up. They've played 14 games. They have the top two scorers in the league. Okay, in 14 games. I keep saying this because I want you to remember the number. 14 games. Do you know how many points Pastrnak and Marchand have? They're 1-2 in the league, Murray.
I just know that they're 1-2. What are the numbers?
29-28 in 14 games. 14 games. They're on pace for 160 points, the two of them, each. Like, that is ridiculous. That is freaking ridiculous. What's 2 points a night?
What's that pace for goals for Pastrnak right now?
Oh, he's on pace for 80 goals. He's got one every game, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Seriously, I couldn't even tell you specifically.
So it's like early 90s Timu Solani, I think he's 72 got 30, goals or
he's
whatever?
Got 14 goals in 14 games. 14 goals in 14 games?
Pace for 82, man.
Yeah.
He's got 29 points. It's ridiculous. It's like they're playing pond hockey, for crying out loud. Mm. And that crew goal last night, I mean, look.
And he's been great offensively, too.
That shot was a rocket. I don't know how it got in there.
It was the first goal Saturday night where Krug played it indirect off the end boards from inside his own blue line. It was just like stupid good plays. It was a slap shot.
Yeah.
I think it was inside his own blue line. It was one of those where he saw Pastrnak take off. So not only did he avoid the icing, but he drills it off the back boards from inside his own blue line. Waiting there for Pastrnak to deke around the goalie, and I think that's how they scored their first goal.
It was. And they've done that before.
Stupid! Okay, so they've just been stupid good. They being that line. Is it sustainable? I mean, I in the regular season, for sure it is. And you know what? More and more teams are doing it. I mentioned this earlier when I saw Tampa come in here, and they put Point, Stamkos, and Kucherov on the same line. Well, in Toronto, I think they're putting Matthews, Marner, and I can't remember who else.
Is it Tavares?
Well, he's been hurt, but they've gone to an erection line. There's another team. Hags wrote about this today. There's another team that's gone to an erection line where they're just loading up Edmonton. They're playing Dreisaitl and freaking McDavid on the same line. So they're just... So this is like a trend, and maybe Cassidy was ahead of it. And oh, by the way, I would not be shocked one bit if there's some nerd somewhere that came up with this and said, actually, for max optimization and efficiency, you want to put all your best players on one line versus spreading out the scoring. That balanced scoring's a myth, and you're better off with blah, blah, blah. I bet there's a nerd somewhere that has stats to back this up.
Well, and Dreisaitl and McDavid are third and fourth in the league in points.
So I think this is a trend in the league, and boy, are they flying. I still feel... like something has to give, something else has to evolve. Something else, whether it's McAvoy making that next step, and he hasn't. He's been fine, but he doesn't pop out to me.
Agreed.
He doesn't.
I want more.
I think he's been solid and fine, but not special. So I don't feel like McAvoy has made any sort of jump. I like Anders Bjork, but, you know, I don't know. Is that enough? Heinen's playing on the second line with Krejci and DeBrusk. They've called up Zach Senyshyn tonight. Okay, so this is a guy. First of your three first-round picks that year, 4 years ago, when you had three right in the middle of the first round. He's barely gotten a cup of coffee up here, but he was was he 15th overall pick or was he 11th?
No, he was the third of the three, I think.
He was the third of the three.
He was the one they reached, yeah.
Okay, were all reaches.
I think it was Zboril, DeBrusk, and then Senyshyn.
Okay, so I had that backwards. Either way, he was one of those first-round picks that year. He barely gets a sniff. I mean, you see guys get called up routinely. I mean, I'd never heard of Cameron Hughes. So they drew some kid named Hughes into the lineup last night. I'm like, who? So I wasn't even aware of Cameron Hughes' existence. They've called up Solarik, sent him back down. Bjork's up. Who knows where he's going? So it's like this first-round pick who's been here now for 3-4 years barely ever gets a sniff. They bring up all these other guys, all this flotsam from Providence before they go to Senishin. He's getting called up tonight. And I think the problem with him is that he's a purely offensive player. So he doesn't profile into your bottom six. He doesn't profile, like, it doesn't make any sense for him to play with Corrali or a banger down there and to grind it out. He's got to be in an offensive role. So play him with freaking David Krejci. Can you see what we got? Like, you know, the erection line, it's all great. It is. It's tremendous. But I think you've, can we see if something else can click here? And so enough with Heinen in the top six. He's not a top six player. He's not. He's a steady, quiet, all-around player. If Senishin only profiles into an offensive place, then put him next to Krejci. Put him with DeBrusk, Krejci, and Senishin, and let's just see. And Senishin, he plays on the right side. So you have
perfect.
You have a need there. So can we see that? But there's no guarantee that Senishin's even going to play tonight. They might play this Cameron Hughes again to get 6 minutes on the fourth line.
Cameron Hughes. I saw that name and I said, who the hell is that
guy? I was like, who?
I think he interned for us once. Cameron Hughes. Good God.
Something's got to give. McAvoy's got to pop or Bjork's got to pop. I've almost given up on Senishin, but okay, he's here. So, he's played 12 games in Providence this year, 2 goals -2. Yeah, so, I mean, he might not even be ready, but they got one whiff of Solarik. They're like, no, back down. Something's got to pop. Something's got to give. I still like Charlie Coyle. I think more often than not, he gives you a good shift, but the puck doesn't really go in the net with him.
At least not until the playoffs.
And so, like, I still like him, but something's got to fill out underneath that first line. It just does.
Oh, they can't keep going the way they're going and win a cup.
But that first line, oh, my God.
And we saw that last year. Their first line was, I don't want to say every bit as good because I think they're even playing better. But they're going to get in and people are going to lean on them and they're not going to respond to it because they're not built that way.
Okay, at Montreal tonight. What do you got, Tukes? What do you got? Just a minor little pants crapping test here. Little what's the soiling is not his best building. He hasn't had the most success up at the Bell Center and Montreal's not always his best matchup.
Canadians have been playing better lately, too.
Little bit. They're a tweener. They're the classic Claude tweener. Right there, the eighth or ninth spot. Right where Claude usually has you. So you got Claude tonight, and let's see what Tuukka has. But they've been a fun watch. They've been a good watch. Catch the game tonight on 98.5, the Sports Hub. The Celtics will go to 105.7?
Yes, correct.
Okay, 105.7. We'll give you a Celtics minute and get your calls, I promise, right after this as well.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5.
Hey, everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're a member FDIC.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art top tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off-season.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now we're ready to go. Marcus Smart has it. Side out of bounds with 4.7 to go in a tie game. Smart lobs it into Tatum. Tatum, 3 seconds to go. Tatum, follow away in the corner.
Go.
Got it! Jason Tatum, a killer with 1.3 to go. No timeouts. Long lead ahead of the field. Knocked away by Grant Williams, and the Celtics have won the ballgame.
So the Celts won on Friday night over the Knicks at the Garden. Very similar play, if not the exact play, that once had a former Celtic so bent out of shape that he had to call his daddy after the game. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, it was that play in Orlando. They aligned the exact same way.
And Kyrie didn't get the ball. And that's the night that he had to call Braun after the game. That was among the beginning of the end for Kyrie in Boston. You ran roughly the same play. Tatum took it again. This time he made it. And, who could have predicted this? Celtics tonight at Cleveland, right?
Correct.
Should be an easy W. Guess we'll be tied for the best record in the Eastern Conference.
Ooh, Celtics?
Who could have predicted something like that?
Who could that have been? You want the bad news?
What's the bad news?
The bad news is you needed that shot to beat the Knicks.
So what?
I'm just saying.
You don't have some of those throughout the course of a game? Throughout the course of a season?
I'm just giving you facts. That's all. I'm telling you.
So you don't think they look good?
That game Friday was more of a struggle than it should have been. They were getting killed on the glass again.
I was going to say, no, they didn't look good. Now, look, again, the final play is striking, and I'm glad to see Tatum, you know, be the one to sort of deliver the dagger there. Tatum should be able to score when he has a mismatch. He can go over guys. So, look, I like to see. I told you, I think Tatum, to me, is the key to the whole thing. So I know what the other guys are. I don't know what Tatum is. But I was happy to see it. And they're playing better, a little.
It's okay, Maz. It's going to be a slow process. Eventually, you're going to have to come around. There's just the facts are going to be there, and the scoreboard's going to be there, and you'll have nowhere to run, nowhere to hide.
So if I'm wrong about the over-under, and I said under 49.5, but they get bounced in the playoffs, am I right?
Well, you heard Gasper split the difference last week, and I think you're jealous.
Oh, I don't even remember Gasper.
He's kind of a smart play. So I said,
I try to forget everything Gasper says.
Over, under 49.5 wins.
Under.
Gasper was over. Over, under game one East Finals. Gasper was under.
Under.
So he split the baby there.
Okay.
As a weasel. But smart play. I wish I'd thought of it, actually.
So we all agree that the playoffs are a better indicator of who they are.
Yes.
And I just want to know what I'm going to get yelled at either way. So it's fine. I just want to know where I'm coming in.
I'm telling you, at least game six of the East Finals is my over-under.
Okay, good luck with that.
Game six East Finals. Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem. Happy to do it.
Okay, so your thoughts on everything. The Red Sox thing, the Bruins thing, the Celtics thing, and we'll reset some of our Patriots thoughts as well off the top of the next hour. But your calls, as promised. Let's grab Chad in Chelsea on the Sox. Go ahead, Chad.
How are you, gentlemen? Could you please answer me a question? Please, I'm begging you. I keep hearing this list of players. I never hear Andrew Benintendi. Why? Benintendi.
He's cheap.
Wasn't last year the year of the juice ball? Everybody's hitting home runs. What did he hit, 11? He had 3 good weeks last year.
So, Chad.
He was on fire for 3 weeks, and that's it. He did nothing else. Nothing.
If we agree with you that he's overrated, and Maz, I think, has led that charge here in Boston for years, fine, he's overrated. He's also going to cost you what next year?
It's going to be like $4 million or something.
He's cheap.
Yeah, no, they won't move him because, again, they need low-cost players.
And there's still, and I'm not giving up on him, especially at that number. It's not going to cost me anything to see if we're wrong about him. It's not going to cost me anything to see if he actually can be a star. It's not going to cost me anything to see exactly what his ceiling is. So I'm not, no, Benintendi's sort of an untouchable to me. And that's not because I think he's Fred Lynn. I think he's cheap and maybe there's something there.
Yeah, it's about bang for the buck.
Bradley? I've seen the ceiling.
See you later.
And I'm crouching. Me and Sosi are in the crawl space on Jackie Bradley's ceiling. And he's going to be $11 million.
Well, I know who's taking up most of that crawl space.
Don't tell me that there's a super nerd somewhere telling me about his UZR and that he's still his war and whatnot. Don't tell me that that's going to happen.
Yeah, the mistake they made with Bradley is they should have moved him last offseason. Now he's only got a year left, too. So I don't know what type of return you'll get. You'll get a little something there. But Benintendi, he might have to be your center fielder.
Jim in the car, give me a thought on the Bruins.
Hey, guys, you guys, not for nothing, but let me get to the Bruins. I will get to the Bruins real fast. But one thing you were saying, you know, they're fun to watch. They're 11-1-2. But you bring me down more than the grubs that are in my freaking lawn right now. I mean, swear to God. I mean, this hockey team, I'm sick of all the drama in every other sport. You know, I won't get into it about the football. Oh, the house is being sold in basketball. Coaches have nothing to do, you know, with who is on the team. And baseball is going up on prices, but let's keep the salary down. All that shit. And the Bruins.
Jim, you can't say that.
We're headed that way.
You were going good, though.
Can I make him happy?
I liked the voices, though.
I'll make him happy.
Ooh, Brady sold his house.
Most likable team in town. Bruins are the most likable team in town right now.
Yeah, they are. And they're blast
really?
To
that
watch.
Was quick. That was just a couple months ago. They took a steaming, and I won't use his word, a steaming dump over all of us.
Yep.
Okay, but again, how about during the course of much of last year? Most likable team in town.
Yeah, from January on, for sure.
So it didn't end well.
And that's why, so for him who's not, you know, we should be enjoying this more. Again, my question to that angry gentleman would be, who do you like in Game 7?
Well, no, so look.
If Tuukka Rask is in that.
I'm enjoying it. They're a fun watch.
They are. They're great.
Bruins are a good watch. That game last night was a fun game. It wasn't a great game by you. You got absolutely dominated for over half of it. But that was a fun product. Most nights, you're a fun product. They win like crazy at home. Unlike the Claude years, like there's very few no-show nights. Like they're a good product. What I'm talking about, and you may not like it, is to actually win the cup now, they're going to need more. I think more than just those three guys. They're going to need more. It wasn't quite enough last year. It wasn't.
They got about 5 months to figure it out.
So
it's not a lot of time.
Something else has to emerge.
No question. Yeah, no question. And look, I think, you know, I think they might even have like some money issues coming up here in the short term, right?
The Bruins?
Yeah, because like, who is it that when Kevin Miller comes back, I think right now his salary's not counting against the cap or something.
I haven't even thought about this.
So in any case, they might have some decisions coming up here.
But I want to see
a
Senishin. I want to see Senishin tonight. He's a first round pick. You've had him stashed in Providence forever. You never give him a sniff. You're the second of back to back. Some of your guys are going to be tired. This kid has got to be, you know, raring to go. Fresh legs. He flies. And one thing he can do is fly. You're playing in Montreal where it's a fast game anyway. Play the kid and play him with Krejci. And I don't know if that's a match because Krejci plays slow, but whatever. Like, play the kid and let him play. Let's see.
Krejci plays slow, but his mind works fast. You're okay. I think you're okay putting Krejci with a fast guy.
Okay, we'll reset some of our Patriots thoughts. We had the big boy in earlier. Guess what is his biggest? So you just gave up 37 freaking points to a college offense. You gave up. You just got pushed by a running quarterback in a college offense.
Pantsed.
And guess what the big boy said is his big concern on this team? We'll give it to you right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercial.
Hey, everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. You still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. Member FDIC.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off-season.
Hi, I'm Jim Burns, sales manager from AAA Work Trucks, your local truck upfitter in Billerica. We all know your truck setup is critical to your success on the job, so choose AAA Work Trucks to upfit your vehicle. We sell and install virtually everything your commercial truck needs, from van shelving to ladder racks, lift gates, toolboxes, power inverters, and much more. Call 866-783-6222, and we'll come up with a solution that works best for you. Visit us at AAAWorkTrucks.com. That's AAAWorkTrucks.com.